Welcome to the Watermark Church Podcast. Today we continue the series, Blessed. Week 3, Be a Blessing, with missionary guest, Sarah Bowes. Let's listen in.
I've been saying every week, I've been saying this, it's not happy people who are grateful, it's grateful people who are happy. People who are grateful, if you're going to have attitude, make sure it's, if you're going to have an attitude, make sure it's gratitude. And one of the things I've been teaching on is characteristics of blessed people. Then the first week I said characteristics of blessed people is blessed people remember that they are blessed. They remember their blessings. They don't forget about what God has done. They don't live a life of being entitled. They know that God has entrusted them. God has entrusted you with your life and your wife and your kids and your finance. God has entrusted you. Psalm 104:1. Verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. The old hymnal goes, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and you will surprise you what the Lord has done. Remember your blessings. And last week I talked about blessed people. Number 2, blessed people give thanks. They break it and they give. And we talked about feeding the 5,000, how God took the loaves and fishes and he broke it. He first gave thanks, he broke it, and he multiplied it. And we took communion last week, and it was the same thing in communion, how God lifted up the communion and said, we thank you, broke it, and served it. Because I said this, whatever is not broken and blessed is not multiplied. God will multiply what we surrender to him. So the question I had last week is, what if you woke up today with only the things that you thank God for yesterday? What if you only have what you have today because of what you thank God for yesterday? Would you still have the same things? Because don't take for granted what God has granted you. And it's so easy to take for granted these things and take for granted life. But one of the things I said last week was, don't take for granted what God has granted. And what's interesting is the things that we take for granted every single day, somebody in this world is praying for that thing that we take for granted every single day. How often, how many times do we go to the faucet and say, thank God for running water? But somebody in this world right now is praying for running water. You know what I'm saying? Somebody in this world, we go to, one of my biggest annoyances at my house is every time you walk in my front door, you trip over 20 pairs of shoes. So you have little shoes, you have kids' shoes, my wife and I's shoes. And we get annoyed of all these shoes. But how many people around this world are praying that they just have a fresh pair of shoes on? Isn't it interesting? The things that we take for granted for every single day, somebody else is praying for. And so I thought, what better way to start ending off this series by having a friend come? So Sarah, if you can come up here. Sarah, here she's right here. You guys, welcome Sarah. So Sarah has her daughters here with us. This is Sarah, but she's a friend of mine. She's super. This is for you.
Oh, thank you.
And so she is a dear friend of mine. Here's how we got to know each other. I am part of this crew of coaches at Church Plant, and within our fellowship, they invite future church planters to be coached by people who've already done it. And so I feel bad for her. They chose her and me together. And so I was at her table, and so we got to know each other, and she says, I'm going to plant a church in Green Bay. She started telling me about her ministry that she has been doing and everything. And I said right away, I'm going, I love this lady. I love her. And I've talked about her with you guys before, and she brought her 2 daughters with today. And so if you can just share a little bit about yourself and your family, and then what we want to know is how you, like, just your story, like how you got to this point now of starting a church plant. So.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
Okay.
Well, my name is Sarah, and I live in Green Bay, Wisconsin. So we live within walking distance of the Packer Stadium. And are there Packer fans here?
But she's not a football fan, so go figure.
My girls and I don't watch football, so it's surprising that they let us stay in town. But we joke around, they fly these fighter jets over the stadium to start every game, and our windows will shake, and we'll look at each other and say, "Oh, there must be a game." So my girls, Gracie and Maggie, are here, and I'm actually really excited to have them here because they're both in college, so I don't get to see them very much anymore. So thank you for bringing us all together this weekend. It's been great. I started a ministry back in 2008, and it's called More Precious Than Rubies. And I think what I'd like to do is back up just a little tiny bit and tell you how I started that. I started by going to get my credentials with the Assemblies of God, and I felt like God was leading me to do that, but I didn't really know why or what for at all. I had no clue. So I just went and tried to be obedient to the Lord. And after I finished my classes and got my credentials, everybody knew that I was in class with what they were going to do. I'm going to be a youth pastor. I'm going to lead worship. And I was like, I don't know. So I took a couple of years, and I joined AmeriCorps, which is like the domestic version of the Peace Corps. And I worked with runaway and homeless youth, and I loved it. But when you do AmeriCorps, they only let you do 2 years. And I had done my 2 years, and it was time to move on. And I didn't know what to do. And I began to get really frustrated with the Lord. And I was like, God, what are you doing? You know, you pulled me out of this this other life, you know, and asked me to go into ministry. And then you didn't tell me what to do. It's not really fair, you know. And I hope that maybe I'm not the only one that whines at God. I hope maybe other people do too, once in a while. But so I was whining to the Lord with my journal and my Bible and my huge cup of coffee, and I started writing, God, you know, what do you want me to do? And I felt like I needed to open up my Bible and start reading. He speaks to us through the Word, amen. And I started reading in the book of Esther. And if you're not familiar with the book of Esther, I recommend you go and read it. It's a short book. It's not one of those big, long ones that you can do it in an hour at the most. So, but in the book of Esther, Queen Esther goes before the king, and she pleads for her people. And I became very emotional when I read that. And I'm not typically a really emotional, cryy person. My kids could probably tell you they've seen me cry a handful of times, and they probably know what each of those handful of times were. Right? So the fact that I was crying, you know, caused me to pause a bit. And I wrote to God. I said, God, I don't understand. I know you are the king and that I should come before you to plead for my people. I'm just a fat white girl. I don't have people, you know? And I wrote, Esther knew where she had come from. She knew where she'd been. I don't get it. And I felt like he said, where have you come from? What have you done? What names have you been called? So I started writing down that I was a runaway, that I was a former gang member, that I had been the victim of a violent crime, that I was a prostitute, that I had done all these different things. And then I paused and I was like, oh no. Come on, God. That's a little out there. So what I did was I started More Precious Than Rubies. And what we do is we reach, serve, and equip women that work in the sex industry and are victims of human trafficking. And so we started this before there were really a whole lot of other ministries doing that, and we didn't know what we were doing at all. So we just kind of jumped in, and we started visiting the strip club and really getting to know the ladies that were working and the staff. And through the years, I have had some amazing God opportunities. I have gotten to pray with people behind the bar, in the dressing rooms, right on the floor of a strip club, you know, just holding hands and praying for people for all different kinds of needs. I've gotten to help people get their GEDs so they can leave that life and start something else. I've gotten to perform weddings of people who've gotten saved and found healthy Christian relationships. I've gotten to see babies born. Pray for people before surgery, and I've had the unfortunate opportunity to help somebody plan for their funeral when they got cancer. But I know where she's going, so that's all good, right? Out of that experience, God has provided an opportunity to church plant specifically for the women in the industry and the other people on my list. So it's a different kind of church. It's a kind of church that will look similar to a regular church and completely different in other ways. In order to reach a crowd that's working typically Saturday night into bar close time, into the early morning hours on Sunday, meeting Sunday morning isn't going to work out. So we're going to do a Sunday afternoon service. And we're going to have small group session right as part of the service so that we can apply what we're learning immediately. And then we're going to close it all up with a family dinner so everybody can eat together and really just tighten up that community. Because it's one of the things that all of those disenfranchised people groups that God really laid on my heart, my people, one of the things that my people need is community and healthy family. And where better to find that than here at church. So.
It's awesome, right? And I said before, she wanted to go churches and bring this idea to different churches, but it's not the most, not a welcome sign coming in, right?
Right, it's a little difficult.
Yeah. And so she's going down this tough road of doing a church plant, but she has a building. She's rented a building that's downtown Green Bay.
Yeah, it's right in the downtown area. It's called the Old Main Street Art District area.
It's pretty awesome. It's like an art building, like a showcase building. And so it's pretty, can you explain to me, you told me about like sometimes you do baby showers and you did that Easter thing. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that and tell them what you do there too?
At Easter?
Yeah.
Yeah, every Easter we do an egg hunt. The first year we did it, we set up an egg hunt at a community park, and one person showed up with a toddler, and we had like 4,000 eggs. It was ridiculous. So that doesn't work, but we still really felt like that was a great idea. So what we did is we discovered the ladies that we serve really do best. They respond well when they know that they're when we tell them that they're special, and we show them that they mean something. So what we changed it to, rather than meet us, we go to their house. So we sneak around their house in the middle of the night, outside, of course, and we distribute eggs so that their kids can find them in the morning. And I make the team wear bunny ears because most of the time the ladies live in sketchy neighborhoods and we don't want to get shot or something while we're trying to do something good.
That's awesome.
But it's a lot of fun. We call it the Ninja Bunnies. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's good fun.
And then share about the other one. What was I saying? The baby shower.
We've done a couple of baby showers, and we recently did a bridal shower. Is one. We did a bridal shower for one of our ladies. She was getting married, and she was now out of the industry, but she knew where she had been, and she didn't feel like she was worth people celebrating her or her marriage. So she wasn't going to have a shower. She was just going to get married really quietly, and we got a hold of a relative, and next thing you know, we had a surprise shower for her, and she just couldn't believe it. We got to meet all these people that were in her life that we otherwise normally wouldn't meet, and we just pop up, surprise, you're having a shower. It was so much fun, and she felt so blessed, and she knew that we were serious when we were saying, no, you're a treasure. The Lord treasures you, and he forgives you. You know, yes, we all know what you've done, but he forgives you. That's removed as far as the east is from the west. Mm. It's true. And sometimes those tangible ways to show people that it's true make all the difference.
It's awesome. And can you share, too, what it looks like when you, because I'm guessing for all of us in here, it's not a typical week for us to go to a strip club.
No.
No. Especially doing ministry in a strip club. So can you share what that looks like when you guys do that kind of ministry, or share an experience or something that's happened, and that kind of thing. So
okay. Well, in Green Bay, we used to have three different types of clubs. Some of them have shut down now, so the experience is a little bit different. But one of the types of clubs that was our absolute favorite club to go to was a really what people would consider a low-end club. It was really dirty. It looked like an old 1970s skating rink in there with it. Fabric on the wall that glows in the dark and stuff. It was gross. They had orange shag and just really gross. And part of the job at that strip club was also prostitution. It was part of their job requirement. And there was areas for that to happen. And we built relationship with the owner. We brought him Christmas presents. We gave him a book, and he read it. You know, it was pretty exciting. But we built that relationship to the point where when we would come in, he would just say, oh, just go back to the dressing room. Just go back there. And we would bring in a whole bunch of food because they would be there from 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. And they weren't allowed to leave. So we would bring in all this big piles of food, and we would feed them, and we would ask them about their lives. What's going on? How are your kids? We would tell on our kids stories that my kids would be embarrassed that I told, so I won't tell you because they're here. But, but just share those life experiences. And then we were able to ask them if they had prayer requests, and we would stand there in the dressing room of a strip club, people in various stages of clothing, and holding hands and praying. And the owner would come in and he'd be like, we need someone out front, there's a customer. And they'd be like, we're praying, hold on. And he would stand there and wait. So, you know, we get to have some of those really great conversations. And one of the other strip club owners actually shut his place down, raised the building, turned it into a parking lot, turned in his license because he got saved. So, amen. Good stuff.
It's amazing because it's you hear these stories, and not only that, now she does Bible studies with these girls. And what she's realizing is it's one thing to get out of that industry, but now what? You know, so how now you got to be a mom, and now you got to find relationships. So she's saying we got to plug these people into a Christian community of people. And so that's why this whole idea of church plant came, saying if we can't plug them into a church, let's create a church environment to get people to come. And to build that community. And I love what she's saying, to disenfranchise. And here's what I'm saying, I want to say to challenge everybody. She knows her people. Like, some people don't say, I don't know my people. And I always say, where have you been hurt? Where have you been abused? Where do you have pain? What things you had in your life have happened? What is succeeding? Who do you connect with the most is usually what God has put in your heart. And so because she can speak life in these people, because she's been down the road of prostitution. She's been down a route where she's a runaway, where she doesn't have a relationship with her mom. And she can speak life into people because God is, and I know I said this before, but I say this again, if heal people, and hurt people, but it's so true. Because we always say, well, you know what I'm saying? And that's what's so cool about, as she's been healed and continually be healed, she can help others be restored. Isn't that amazing? And it's amazing. Yeah.
And well, and I would, along those same lines, I would really just encourage all of you to find out, pray, God, who are my people? Who am I supposed to be reaching? Because every one of us has a story, and every one of us has somebody that we should be reaching that only we can reach. And it's not easy. You know, the last thing on earth that I really want to do as a saved and changed new creature is to stand up here and tell all of these strangers that I was a prostitute. You know, that's not easy. But it's worth every single second because God has done amazing things. And my ability to go and talk to somebody and have them say, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just a church lady. Oh, honey, let me tell you a story. And you all have a story that might surprise other people. Don't be afraid to share that. That's your God story. That's look what God can do. He could take this wreck and turn it and make it something new. And if we're hiding what our wreck was, we're not glorifying God the way he deserves to be glorified.
It's amazing. So. Isn't that amazing? So she launches her church in Green Bay March 19th. This past Thursday night was her first pre-launch service meeting. So she had her crew there for the first time. My wife and I have been through all this. And so she had, 15 people there on Thursday?
Yeah.
I think we had six. So it's cool to see this all come together. So I just, is she awesome?
Thanks for listening. Join us next week as we continue the sermon series, Blessed.